Welcome to the Everything Action Cast, the official podcast of everythingaction.com.
Hello and welcome to the Everything Action Cast podcast for the week of April 22nd, 2024. I'm your host, Zach.
I'm your co-host, Chris.
And yeah, this week we are defending The Hive and talking about the Jason Statham movie, The Beekeeper, which is out this week on Blu-ray and 4K for all you physical media fans. Obviously, came out in theaters in January this year. It's one of the biggest hits of 2024. It's one of the top 10 movies worldwide so far. I'm sure once we get the summer, it's going to get knocked down. But right now, it is one of the biggest hits. And I think, like, definitely, you know, Jason Statham has had a bit of a slump recently. Like, I you still haven't seen it, but Expendables 4 was the worst movie I saw last year. It is a train wreck. And I'm trying to think, some of the other stuff he's been in recently was not that great.
Meg Operation 2 was fine, but wasn't, like,
It got so sidetracked with, like, this, like, weird, like, the weird undersea corporation that's trying to mine the trench, and there's, like, they're like, aren't there giant sharks in this movie? Like, that's, you're like, you're gonna ignore the giant sharks and just, like, focus on this weird, like, evil corporation. And then, like, Operation Ruse de Guerre was, like, Operation Fortune was weird. I would say the most Jason Statham movie in recently was, like, Wrath of Man.
That was like 2 years ago.
Yeah, 2021. But The Beekeeper, I mean, Beekeeper is like peak Statham. Like, you're talking, like, you know, you're talking about, like, you know, Crank transporter style Jason Statham. Because it's
agent Statham.
Yeah, it's insane. He's like an unstoppable killing machine. It's ridiculous. So,
yeah, one of the things the movie doesn't tell you that essentially it's a slasher movie and it's just Jason Statham is a slasher.
Yeah. I mean, even by, like, Jason Statham levels, like, he is so overpowered and unstoppable in this movie. Like, I think the worst he gets, like, he only like, finally gets, like, injured in, like, the last, like, 10 minutes. But, like, other than that, like, he does not get a scratch on him. No one can stop him.
Yeah, he pretty much is, like, a shadow that comes out of the dark in a lot of points.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, like, you think he's gonna not use weapons for a while, but then, later on, like, he just has a gun now, and now he's even more unkillable.
Yeah, they really make a point, like, early on, like, every fight, like, for, like, the first half of the movie, he, like, disarms everyone, and then, like makes a point, like, disabling, like dropping all the ammo out of their guns, and, like throwing their guns away. And then, yeah, for the big final action sequence, it's like, I'm just gonna use guns now. But yeah, let's get to the basic premise, which is Jason Statham is a beekeeper, he's a beekeeper. Like, he manages bees and makes honey, but he's also a beekeeper, which is, like, a secret agent working for this agency that operates outside of, like, all known law enforcement and government agencies, and they if anything, like, is going to, like, affect, I don't know if it's global or just, like, the U.S. because Jeremy Irons mentions, like, it's just, like, the nation, like, the U.S. But I'm not sure if, like, the Beekeeper is, like, a global group or just, like, a U.S. group.
I think it's a U.S. group because, yeah, they have sanction in the U.S.
Yeah,
because it wouldn't make sense to send a beekeeper abroad, because, like, they're only, like, covert in America, so they can get away with certain things. But yeah, I don't know. Even though Jason Statham isn't, like, American, like, he's
yeah,
he's blatantly from another country.
Mm-hmm. Which, one of the best lines, or one of the funniest lines, is, like, when he's talking to, like, Amy Raver Lampman, who's, like, an FBI agent. And then she's like, do I detect a bit of the British Isles in your accent? It's like, of course you fucking do. It's Jason Statham. Like,
it's another movie. It reminds me of, like, Arnold action movies where they need to explain where he's from. You know, it's a lot of action movies in the last 10 years, the hero has been a American.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they don't have to explain where they've been before. Even if the American hero is in another country, it's just sort of like alluded that they were a U.S. military trained. But with Jason Statham, none of that makes sense. It's just like, oh, are you an ex-SAS? Are you, like, Shaw? Like, is this Shaw? Like,
yeah. I just love the fact that it's like, they're making it seem like, oh, you have a vague British accent. It's like, but it's like Jason Statham talking to me in his, like, most Jason Statham, even Jason Statham voice.
His low grunting accent.
Like, yeah.
And, yeah, obviously they're going to say, oh, okay, like, were you, like, British Special Forces? It's like, no, I'm a beekeeper. It's like, that's even more confusing. A lot of people don't know what beekeepers are.
Yeah. Well, there's a beekeeper, apparently, who operates by them, like, they operate totally autonomously, and then if any sort of system that, like, you know, are complex systems that, like, you know, finance or government or anything that could, like, you know, tip our country into chaos, they step in and, like, correct the issue, which is, you know, protecting the hive, which, you know, the hive is like the U.S. And
so it'd be interesting if this world does get built up where this is just the American beekeepers, and then
if they go full Kingsman, and then there's like the British beekeepers, but there's like a different name or something.
I don't know what, like, beekeepers is so, like, just ambiguous. It's not like a
the cattle ranchers, the shepherds. Like,
yeah, I see. Okay, there you go. The sheep shepherds. Yeah. Like, okay, just that's the British version. It's like, oh, I used to be a shepherd before I became a beekeeper. Who's naming these secret divisions?
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think we brought this up in the past when the trailer was coming out with the beekeeper. What are the odds that a beekeeper is an actual secret agent beekeeper? It's so, such a weird thing that they would recommend not for him to do it. Or it's like, is it hiding in plain sight?
I can't tell if Jason Statham was just like, I really like bees, I'm going to be a beekeeper. Because we meet like the new beekeeper at places, because Jason Statham is retired. He's a retired beekeeper. And then we meet like the new beekeeper later on. But then there's a point where Jason Statham goes to like the like new beekeeper's like headquarters or lair, and there's like beehives outside of that too. So it's just like, is this whole organization is built around actual beekeeping, but then they're also like the beekeepers, and then they also have like handbooks for like beekeep. It's like a guide to beekeeping.
So I don't know if that was his ex hangout, maybe.
I'm not sure if it's like if it was his or like, because he had to cut off the like the new beekeeper's finger to get into
right,
like the,
to get in, but yeah. He knew where to go.
Yeah,
that's why I feel like maybe that was his ex hangout.
Well, I'm sure the beekeepers probably have like caches all over the place. Like there's like probably like beekeeper, you know, armories everywhere.
So I mean, we'll get into it, but let's go back to the beginning where. The movie literally starts with Jason Statham beekeeping.
Yep.
And, like, I thought it would be subtle, but it's not. Like, if you think it's going to be some subtle movie where the title doesn't really happen or there's no action, it's like things ramp up in those 10 minutes.
It's not one of those movies where it's like dinosaur, but it's not about dinosaurs. Like, he's a beekeeper. Literally, he's a beekeeper. He's making honey.
He's gonna hang out with this retired school teacher in her barn.
Yeah, Felicia Rashad, like he's renting space in her barn so he can like tend to his bees and make honey. And they're friends. And then she's like, hey, I'll make you dinner because like, and then he's like, oh, all right, I'll bring you honey. And then, but then Felicia Rashad gets one of those pop-ups on our computer where it's like, your computer's being hacked, call this number.
Which, what website was she going on?
I've seen that pop-up just like trying to search on Google. Like if you click a bad Google link, you get there, so.
But she, I mean, I get she's not computer illiterate, but they really try to drive to the point where she's super, like, gullible and I don't know. Like,
well, I don't.
Sad.
I don't know if anyone who I can't figure out if people wrote this movie if they have no idea how scamming works, or they just like don't give a crap and they're just like, we're gonna make it sexy and crazy, like. Because, like, obviously this would be, like, if this is real life, it'd be just, like, people, like people in, like, a dark, dimly lit, like, Indian, like, hive of computers, like, trying to scam people out of money.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This would not be an American company that almost looks like a...
It's like Wolf of Wall Street, like, it's like the Wolf of Wall Street meets, like, e-gaming, where it's just, like, these, like, it's, like, this giant neon lit, like, and then, like, they're, like... throwing stuff at, like, they have, like scores going off and buzzers and graphics and...
I would not get any work done if I was in that pit. It's too dark. It's also very loud. Like, it definitely makes sense that if this was a scamming thing, it'd be in India and, like, just full of nonsense.
Well, it makes sense in this universe if, like, Josh Hutcherson's running it, because his character is just, like, a raging douchebag. So it's just, like, this is, like, everyone who works under him is also a raging douchebag, so.
But is that a requirement? It's just, like, everyone in that company from, like, I guess an executive level to just the actual, like, drones that call people, like the cold callers, like they're all like douchebag bros.
they're all like crypto bros.
I wonder what that, and I like the intro because it really shows you that it's making fun of that like new age tech world, and then the luxury of just being like scammers. Mm-hmm. I did enjoy that. Josh Hutcherson, I swear to God, like, I think he's in his, like, late 20s, but I think he's supposed to be, like, 24 in this movie.
I think he specifically says he's 28.
Oh, he's 28? Okay.
Yeah, I think he says, like, I'm 28, like.
I don't know if that makes anything better.
I don't know.
But it's just funny to think that he still has such a, like, kid face.
Mm-hmm. But he does such a great job of just being like so hateable. Like you just want him to like die in the worst way possible.
I think Josh Hutcherson in real life is actually like a nice guy.
Probably, but yeah.
In this movie, you really just want to punch him in the face.
Yeah. But Felicia Rashad gets scammed and they steal all her money, including like she was like holding the money for a charity. It was like $2 million that she was like in charge of. And so she loses all her money and then she kills herself with a gun that she had a gun for some reason. Even though she's a retired school teacher. And then Jay Statham stumbles in and then that's when we get like, introduced like Emmy Raver Lampin, who's like Felicia Rashad's daughter, and she's also an FBI agent, which, why wouldn't Felicia Rashad call her FBI agent daughter and be like, hey, someone stole all my money? Like,
yeah, her first thing to do was load up a gun.
Yep. She's like, well, this is the only way out. Like, you know, the FBI has, like, you know, financial crime divisions. Like, I'm sure Verona could, like, talk to someone like financial crimes or like investigate it herself or, you know, figure out what's going on.
I mean, her daughter works at the FBI. She never thinks to like get the FBI or help or something, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's just an interesting thing. You know, I if they didn't have that connection to the FBI, I feel like it would make sense where she's kind of like the end of her rope.
Mm-hmm.
Because her daughter seems like a okay FBI agent and very like technological modern.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just feel like
I think the answer is there wouldn't be a movie. There wouldn't be a movie,
right? They really had to escalate.
Yeah, there wouldn't be any reason for Jason to like go on his rampage.
I mean, but I feel like he was just waiting for an excuse too.
Yep.
This wasn't a guy that was like kind of like that John Wick first fight where he is kind of rusty and then he gets better and better. this was like he went in with like a plan of attack of burning the building, acting all confident, thinking he knew exactly what to do. Because he's done it before.
Yeah. Well, he had his like special beekeeper phone like in one of his beehives, and then he gets like, you know, he gets a favor from like the Apple like the operators and the beekeepers to like get the name of like the address of the scammers that scam Fleischer Rashad. It's like the FBI can't find these guys, but you guys can, right? And he's like, sure, give me 5 minutes. Like, here you go, here's the address.
I mean, all they had to do was just Google and then probably get another scam. Because they were able to, like, rip off a lot of money if they're able to do that constantly and then also have, like, a chain of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're always spitting out numbers. I think, like, Josh Hutcherson at one point says, like, each office makes, like, $9 million or something, and then, like, he has, like, 20 of them or something, so... It's like some huge, massive like scam. And he's also using CIA algorithm data mining code to like target specific people.
So that was interesting because I think it's brought up at the end where either he bought the data or Michael, what's his face?
I think he got it from Jeremy Irons. I think Jeremy Irons used to be the CIA, like the director of the CIA.
So he just gave him the algorithm that lets you target vulnerability. Like instead of like, I guess, because they kind of do that now where they can kind of figure out like potential terrorists by just your activity. So he used that system to target vulnerable old people.
Yeah, that's what he says. Josh Hutcherson at the end says, like, I trained the CIA algorithm. Instead of hunting terrorists, I had trained to hunt money.
I would have loved that kind of closer in the beginning of the movie or the middle, because you find that out near the end.
Well, there's some mention of, like, Jeremy Irons is like, oh, is this your data mining, like, meta bullshit or whatever? Like,
he should know better. Jeremy Irons should know what the right term is. It's his system.
Yeah. Well, he's just like, Jeremy Irons is just like, he's just like the head of security now for Josh Hutcherson.
Yeah, that part I got. Like, but Jeremy Irons in this movie, I thought he would do something even more sinister or whatever. He really doesn't do much.
He is like the Michael Nyquist from John Wick, where he's the guy who's just like, when he finds out it's a beekeeper, he's like, oh, fuck, it's a beekeeper! Like, yeah. Like, you're dead. You're fucking dead, Josh Hutcherson. Like, make your funeral arrangements. There's nothing I can do to stop this. Like, and he has like, two, like, it's kind of like Michael Nyquist, like, Baba Yaga kind of, like, style, like, speeches. Like, his second one is probably the best one, where he's, like, talking to, like, his, like, tier one guys that he hires, and he's just like, yeah, he's nothing like you. You guys are tier one Navy SEALs, Delta Force. You're all pussies.
he gave him such an uninspiring speech to that group.
He would kill every single one of you in this room. And if we throw enough of you guys at him, maybe he'll stop him. Yeah, there's a lot of like like John Wick style, like they're built like building up Jason Statham.
Yeah, they build up his allure, but then they don't explain anything about the organization.
Yeah.
We'll get into this now, where we still can't figure out if, like, Jeremy Iron knows that the current beekeeper that's on retainer is, like, crazy.
Well, everyone knows the beekeepers exist, but then they also kind of don't know anything about them. It's just like, oh, yeah, the beekeepers exist. We don't have no idea what they do or how to stop them, or we can't control them, but we know they're out there. Because Minnie Driver, who shows this movie for like two scenes,
I forgot
for some reason, because
I totally forgot
she's the new CIA director, and then she somehow is able to call the beekeepers, and then they're like, the beekeepers are apparently like, yeah, we'll send our new beekeeper to kill the old beekeeper. So she can call. So you can apparently call the head of the beekeepers, which we never see who that is. It's just like, oh yeah, there's the heads of the beekeepers.
So the queens?
Maybe, yeah. And then yeah, I think we mentioned it, but like, it seems like there's only one beekeeper at a time because Jason Statham retired, and then the new beekeeper came up,
who is not good at her job.
No, She is straight out of like John Wick or like Fast and Furious. Like she's just like totally incongruous to, like everything else in the movie of like neon purple raincoat and miniguns, like a souped up truck. Like
Yeah. She comes in as a one person army but is super incompetent to even like hurt Jason Statham.
Jason Statham kills her with honey.
I did not know honey was flammable.
That's true fact. Like, I think honey is very flammable.
Holy shit!
But yeah, that I love the movie. Definitely needed more of that. We needed more Jason Statham uses like bee stuff to kill people.
So let's put this out there early. This movie needed more bees.
He should have had a jar of bees and he just throws at people. Like this.
I thought. So if you look at the poster where he's covered in bees, that sweet ass fencer beekeeper outfit he wears, I thought that would be more of a thing. I thought he was gonna like distract things or kind of take out electronics with like an army of bees, sort of like an Ant-Man style. I think that would be kind of cool.
He should have like walked like walked maybe in the final battle or something. Like he like you know how people like cover themselves in bees. Like he should like walked in like covered in bees and just like unleashes them like.
Yeah.
Or like Batman Begins style, where, like he has some way of like summoning bees, like he has like sort of like transmitter, like a frequency or something.
Literally at the end of the movie, he was gonna have a queen bee in his pocket, and then like a swarm of bees was gonna follow that pheromones trail. Wouldn't that make sense? Wouldn't that be like a cool visual?
Yeah.
But instead, we don't even have that. I'm not saying it's not great, but. It definitely could have used more bee things. But Jason Statham makes up for it by dropping bee references left and right at almost every conversation.
Well, you could definitely play a drinking game where every time he says, like, I'm protecting the hive, like, I gotta protect the hive. Because he basically says like, every single person he meets, he's just like, I gotta protect the hive.
If he's trying to keep it secret that he's a beekeeper, like an elite agent, he is failing.
It's like, hey, the guy who's talking about bees constantly, is he like part of this like weird group called the beekeepers?
What are the odds that the guy who keeps talking about bees is a beekeeper government agent? That I mean,
not even a government agent. Like
everyone starts finding out. It's not like, I mean, because like the FBI and now everyone knows who a beekeeper is, and even then, the hires of the FBI don't believe the beekeeper story.
Mm-hmm. It seems like only the CIA is like actually knows that they exist, and then everyone else kind of like finds out throughout the movie of like, oh, there's this weird group that like.
And there goes the lore,
and it's like, is it? I feel like it's like at least halfway through where Jeremy Irons like finally is like, let me explain what the beekeepers are. Like, he has his whole monologue about how the beekeepers got formed or why they got formed.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't mind, but I didn't need more of that.
No.
I needed was, what's the structure? Who the hell were the computer system set up by? Like, where were that was located?
And why are they using, like, old computers? They're using, like, Cold War computers.
Give me more of that. Granted, it's the same thing with the John Wick coins, where they're just more symbolic. And you're not really supposed to know or care about that, but it does play a big role in how the beekeepers are actually able to maintain their stuff. And like, I think more of the like allure of why he's deadly. But yeah, like I get why they were needed to keep a system regulated. That's fine. Maybe. Like that, like.
Maybe the sequel will get, like, if there is a sequel, which it seems like inevitable at this point, just how well it did at the box office, but, like, maybe the sequel, like, will get more, like, maybe Jason Statham will have to, like, he'll have to go to, like beekeeper headquarters or something, or, like, maybe they're like, targeting him, like, it's like, we gotta he went too rogue, like, we gotta stop him, and then he has to, like, go and, like, kill he has to destroy the beekeepers themselves or something.
I could see that. I could see where, basically, he has to burn down the original structure because it's too corrupt,
and then maybe like you know John Wick 2 definitely like, you know explored way more of like more of like the structure of the world and stuff. So maybe like Beekeeper 2 could like explore more of the, like the beekeeper world too, like just like get into like a little bit more of, like what the hell they are and how they work.
I wonder if instead of we mentioned international spy agencies, I wonder if there's another agency and they're called like the Gardeners. And then
they're the ones that if the beekeepers go rogue, they control the beekeepers. Like,
yeah.
There's a group like above the beekeepers.
Yeah. Just like another league. And it's just even more cryptic where it's like, oh, there can never actually be like one gardener. It's something where
the murder the hornets.
Yeah. The gardener is actually made up of a bunch of AI robots.
We got to call on the murder hornets to kill the beekeeper.
Yeah, but another thing I brought up was Jason Statham's beekeeper outfit, which is not a normal beekeeper outfit, I think. It's just not what I'm used to seeing.
No, I think it's literally a fencing outfit. They just like and they put like a beekeeper design on it, but it's for fencing. It's a fencing.
I looked at that and I was like, that is too form fitting for a beekeeper outfit. Mm-hmm. And he looks too badass in it, and it's almost if you told me that wasn't a fencing outfit, it just looks like such a steampunk attire that you know something from the 19th century in a black and white photo about some guy trying to attempt the space travel.
I don't think he ever like he doesn't fight in it though. He just like he's always wearing like his like flannel coat and like he looks like a farmer or something. But like he's just like yeah he never like fights in his like beekeeper outfit.
I wanted him in the beekeeper outfit, and then it probably in scenarios where that would be the appropriate attire.
He could have been wearing it in like that garage, like the barn fight, like the one time to use it, like. He was literally at his barn where he's beekeeping.
You ever see the movie Homefront?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's basically in the same outfit.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. But, oh, man. Josh James Franco for that movie teaming up. was it James Franco named Gator in that movie?
Yeah.
With like an insane Southern accent. Because it was like outside, it was like Louisiana.
You know, you could tie in all those offshoot Jason Statham movies and make your own Mad Max story where that's exactly what Alex Clay was. He was
Adam
this
Clay,
guy,
yeah.
Then something happened. Adam Clay, yeah, he was this, and then, code name changed, and he had family, and then he lost the family. He does bring it up in this movie that he once had a wife and kid. And then he lost it all. We don't know how. He never gets into it. But I assume something bad happens. Maybe that's why he retired.
Yeah.
You want to talk about our favorite kind of stunts?
Well, I just mentioned the garage fight is awesome. Where the guy who runs the office that scanned Felicia Rashad, who is like, I think you said he looked like MatPat, and I said he looks like an evil Andrew Garfield.
Yep, just some schnarmy guy with a haircut.
And he's apparently somehow connected to the mob, but then Josh Hutcherson's like, hey, take care of this yourself, like, I can't deal with this. And then he gets, like, a bunch of random dudes, and they're driving around, like, trying to, like, see, like, where everyone they scanned lives, and then they just happen to stumble on Jason Statham. And then he's like effortlessly murders them all in his in the barn, which this movie has like some like really like awesome creative deaths. Like he like takes he takes one of the guys like shotgun barrels off and stabs him in the throat with the shotgun barrel, and then like he cuts off like evil Andrew Garfield's like fingers and like leaves him.
Yeah, then, I did find that funny because it's not like he straight up like. Did that and then was just like saying that he just cuts his fingers and then walks away.
Yeah,
just because he could.
Well, you find out later that he was like following him because he's trying to get more information about who he worked for. Then like and then drive then send him off a bridge attached to a truck.
Think you could survive a fall like that? I think that's like. Well, I mean, no, the guy is dead. Like in the movie,
even if you survived the impact of the water, like he was like attached, like he was like locked into like a
Oh, he was strapped.
Straps to a truck. So he would have drowned. Like he was attached to a truck. But that was like insanely hard impact into the water. I'm sure he was like that didn't kill him. Like he would have been dead pretty quickly afterwards.
So I do like that in this movie, Jason Statham is kind of just like an anti-hero. It's not like he's trying to get answers. It's just he's just murdering his way up the line.
Mm-hmm.
He really tries not to injure cops, but he'll mess up anyone that is ex-militant or something.
Well, I guess if they're not like directly working for like the companies, then he'll like maybe try to not kill them. But then he kills most of, like the SWAT team, like the Boston SWAT team that comes in after him.
I don't think that was the FBI SWAT team. I think that team was the Navy SEALs.
No, I think he took out most of like Jeremy Irons tier one guys.
But I think those are off the Black Ops guys.
No, I mean I'd have to watch. I just watched like an hour ago. But like I think there was like there's a group of cops that like SWAT guys that came in with like the FBI guys. And they got an elevator, and then there was like, oh shit, like, he's like blowing this elevator up.
No, that is part of the tier one group.
Maybe. I don't. Either way,
back and watch it. Like, he tries and he injures the crap out of everyone that is like an actual, like, government or, law enforcement
person. He
kills all these Black Ops guys.
Yeah.
It's such a throwaway scene for what he murders all these people. I actually thought this one tier one guy that's in the thing where they have like a dialogue, an exchange in the hallway.
Yeah.
I thought that guy was gonna be like a recurring villain, but he gets killed super like early in that fight.
Yeah. Yeah, they set him up like, this guy's gonna give Jason Statham trouble. It's like their fight is like a minute, and he just like smashes his head with like a fire extinguisher and like kills him.
I thought, oh, maybe this is the first fight; they'll have a rematch. And nope.
No, he gets replaced with an even more insane villain later on.
I do like that it's not a super gimmicky thing, but it's a different type of villain, like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the right term is, but it's a handy, capable villain.
Yeah, Lazarus, the like New Zealand, like it's like they bring like a mercenary rugby team basically to like and like they're like it's, it feels like they're like rugby guys, but they also are mercenaries.
I thought it was a South African mercenary group.
Yeah, some sort. Yes, Josh Hutcherson knows or like are hired or something.
It just seems weird because you can't go from a tier one to then just like an arguably a worse team just because they look so under equipped.
And they're all it's like there's a cowboy. It's like they're also like eclectically. It's like a cowboy guy and like a bunch of like a right. There's a bunch of like a random mercenary guys.
I think there's guys wearing soccer jerseys.
Yeah, that's why it says like it's like an evil like mercenary rugby team or something. But then apparently, like this Lazarus guy, like he said he killed a beekeeper once, but then that's why he lost his leg because he barely did it.
Yeah, you say he got lucky, which I get, but then I don't because the previous beekeeper, Jason Statham, set on fire relatively easy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, everyone compared to Jason Statham is like. A relative easy kill, because Jason Statham is just like unstoppable.
That's why I kind of wish there was a ex-beekeeper or someone on the same equal footing. It's just more overwhelming odds is what slows him down.
Well, I mean, this Lazarus guy is like the only one that really gives him like their fight is like the only one where like Jason Statham actually has to struggle a little bit and then finally gets injured when he gets like stabbed, he gets cut in the arm and stabbed in the gut, and then that's like but that's like an hour and like 30 minutes into like the movie where before he has not gotten a single scratch on him.
So I do like that Lazarus is like a hard to kill person. and his, like his name, it just keeps coming back.
Oh,
actually,
my god,
he died when he got shot in the face, but then it's like, oh, he lived from that.
No, that was great, and then yeah, and then yeah, the final fight is so brutal and like crazy, where he just keeps getting stabbed, like Jason stabs him with like a piece of glass and a knife, and he's like using brass knuckles on him, and he just keeps coming back.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It'd be funny if he comes back in a sequel. He just can't die.
Yeah. I mean, that was an awesome fight.
It was. I still don't like how Jason Statham doesn't really sneak in this movie. He just sort of walks into places, and his plan is to get caught like half the time.
Well, he does. He kind of does like a like Agent 47 hitman kind of thing, where he pretends to be like a Secret Service agent.
Like once he's in, then he just changes into like a suit, but then he gets caught. Like, right.
And then, did he know there was gonna be a guy like dressed like that looked exactly like him at the party with this exact same suit on?
No.
Cause there's a decoy guy that like Emmy Raver Lampin and Bobby Bandera like, oh, it's him, and it turns out it's not him, he's wearing it's a bald guy with like the same suit on.
It's just Jason Statham's like stunt double.
Yeah.
No, they didn't plan that. That was definitely like a Mission Impossible thing where they would have scoped it out and planned it, but no, this was just a coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, he gets caught right after that.
Yeah.
So it's not even, like, a big decoy. It was just like, oh, that took, like, a moment.
But then he rigged, like, all the, like, Secret Service cars explode. So that was the distraction he needed to, like, run away. Jason Statham is amazing at, like, running away from people shooting at him. He can just dodge gunfire.
He doesn't even get behind cover. He just outruns bullets.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So we brought up the fact that, okay, so I think he accidentally kills a few Secret Service agents.
Oh, probably, yeah.
Because he pulls up that, like, convoy. And there's, like, casualties.
Oh, we gotta talk about, like, so we're talking about Secret Service, and the reason they're Secret Service is because probably, the best twist in the movie, that, like, when I saw it in the theater, I was like, I wanted to, like, jump, like, just, like, throw my fist in the air and, like, jump up in the IC because it was so stupid and ridiculous, but, like, we find out that Josh Hutcherson's mother is the president.
Dun dun dun.
Because after the tier one guys fail, like Jeremy is like, you gotta call your mother. We gotta be in her proximity. And
is no one doing fact checks in the president's like son? Of like, where is this guy making money and all that? Because it's like he's a celebrity, you know? So I was like kind of like dumbstruck. I was like, huh, I didn't see that coming. But
he's
also,
he's
like.
And he seems like he's like, well, I guess Jerry Ryan said that, like, he's like heaving him out of like the tabloids and out of like scandals and stuff. That's like part of his job. He's like hiding everything.
Okay, that makes sense. Oh, all right, yeah, they cover their tracks on that one.
But yeah, he's like a crazy like train wreck. Like he's doing coke and banging hookers and like, and then getting all this legal money. But yeah, their final option is because they've like used up like special ops guys that failed. Like it's like we need to hide in, like next to like the president, and then the Secret Service will protect us. Which I love how big a deal they're like. But after Josh Hutcherson talks to his mother, she hangs up. And she's like, they're like, hello, Madam President. It's like the music that goes like, da, da, da. But yeah, it's like they're like, and then they were like, they were rich before. She basically funded her entire campaign because like the father was like a billionaire or whatever. But then they needed, like, Josh Hutcherson needed to get more money to fund the campaign more.
I guess like it was the final push.
Yeah.
But does that mean that she was recent president? Like she just was elected?
I think they said that, yeah, she was just took office or something.
Gotcha.
And then they find out like, oh, all your campaign money was like illegally fished from old people.
I mean, it kind of makes sense where he was able to do some counter politics and make his mom look good, so that itself could have been its own movie, but they really just glanced that over to get back to Jason Statham just getting pissed and getting closer.
Well, I just love, like, the movie to that point was already, like, insane, and then they just, like, ramp it up to even a more insane level, where it's like, now Jason Statham's gonna kill the president, or Jason Statham's gonna kill the president.
Yeah, that was cool. Like, it's really hard to see from that coming, just because it doesn't feel that direction. But at some point, you kind of forget about, like, the reason, you know, why he's doing this. And then even the daughter just sort of forgets, and then she's all obsessed about BFAX and getting Jason Statham.
Well, I love, like, Verona, like, they like lampshade, like, the, like, president thing, killing the president thing, where, like, she's like, hey, did you know there's these bees called queen slayers, and they, like, rise up and kill the queen if there's, like there's bad offspring? What an interesting bee fact.
I thought maybe the mom was going to do something, but we don't see that.
No, she's like, I'm gonna tell the truth, no matter what it takes, and then Josh just, like, loses it and pulls a gun and just, like, kills the assistant director to the FBI. And then is holding his mother, the president, hostage.
That guy really puts himself in that corner that part of the movie. Once he did that, I was like, I don't see this going in any way besides Jason Statham getting his justice.
You know, one of my biggest complaints, though, is, like, I wish Josh Hutcherson had, like, a more elaborate death. Just for how big a hateable douchebag he was to the whole movie, I wish he just had, like, a more, like, elaborate, over-the-top death to go with it.
This is where the giant swarm of bees would have came in.
Yes. And then and then Josh Hutcherson is allergic to bees, so he just starts swelling up, just like, ah!
Yeah, just where it's like, he goes, even honeybees have, like, deadly venom, or, like, something he could just say about a bee pun, and that would make it worth it.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, Josh Hutcherson gets shot in the head, and then Jason Statham jumps through a window and escapes.
I mean, there's more to that, because the window also leads to, like, a cliffside view, which I was shocked, because I forgot where they were. I thought they were at the White House, but they're not in the White House.
No, they went to the president, like, the family beach house, where they're having, like, that party is crazy that they're having.
So I didn't pay attention to where they're having that party.
Yeah.
But then then it's like, wait, the president is going to this house party? Like, this mansion party that looks like just like a TikTok house?
Yeah, I don't know if those are guests of the president, or if, like, Josh Hutcherson invited all those people, because they seem like more like Josh Hutcherson people. And it's like magicians and like showgirls, and it's like there's just like wandering people, like wandering through the house, like breathing fire, or, like, doing those, like, what are those ball things? Like the magic ball that makes it look like it's, like, levitating.
Yeah, it just seemed like the setting of that, they took that from a Hitman movie, like a Hitman video game scene.
Mm-hmm.
Just like all these zany entertainers and just generic background people. And I thought Jason Statham was gonna have, like, a bigger plan where he's gonna, like, keep changing up his disguise or make distractions.
Nope, just rampage through everyone, and no one can stop him. It's like Secret Service SWAT can't stop him. Like, South African mercenaries can't stop him. That's when he's using guns too. And it's like, oh, right, he's, like, insanely proficient with guns too. He's not just, like, he doesn't have to do hand to hand all the time.
Yeah, that's why it really changes the fights where he uses his gun again. Otherwise, it's just fun hand-to-hand martial arts combat and kicking people off of, like, railings.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, it's David Ayer, he knows how to make, like, a fun action movie when there's no, like, fat on it. It's definitely something that if you told me this is the same guy that made the Suicide Squad, it's different just because it's not like a music video. It moves really fast.
Yeah, this is definitely his best movie in like a while. Cuz like his run was like, it was like Suicide Squad, Bright, in the Tax Collector, like last before this one.
What was the Tax Collector?
That was the one with like Shia LaBeouf and George Lopez.
Wait, what?
It was like Shia LaBeouf and then Bobby Soto, and they were tax collectors for the like a Los Angeles crime boss. So they would like go around like, you know, take the money people earned to get it to like the gang. It was a 2020 movie, so that it was like a, you know, quarantine COVID release.
Gotcha. Yeah, I've just never heard of that movie.
It's also Beekeepers is written by Kurt Wimmer, who, you know, directed Equilibrium.
Okay. I get where the tone of Bounds comes from then.
But it's also crazy because he wrote X-Men 4, which was awful, right, and then he wrote this, which was like super fun and crazy. So it's like, what happened to Expendables 4?
It's just scenes he couldn't fit in. Like, he basically probably had one script, and then he removed everything to make the Beekeeper, and what was left. Or, you know, he removed all the good parts, and then made the Beekeeper, and he sold the rest to Expendables 4. It's because, yeah, I haven't seen that movie yet, and I'm kind of afraid to, just because I left it on a high note of, like, the first three, and it's like, do I need to see the 4 to see where it goes?
Yeah, if you look at Kurt Wimmer's like filmography, this is definitely like Beekeeper is definitely more in the like Law Abiding Citizen range, because he also wrote that one.
I don't know. Law Abiding Citizen is like plus or minus depending on how you feel certain times.
Yeah, well, I feel like Law Abiding Citizen is like equally like, you know, crazy and like insane and like all super elaborate plans that like. Jared Butler's crazy plan and the like over the top violence and, but yeah, Kurt Wimmer. I mean, Kurt, then it's like, then you know, he wrote Salt. He wrote the Total Recall remake, which was, you know, terrible. The Point Break remake, which was terrible. He directed the Children of the Corn remake, which I think you said you kind of liked, Chris.
I didn't mind it. It's not great. It has a lot of dumb things that I enjoyed, but it's also very, like, grounded. It's just sort of like these kid people that, like, you're like, wow, they are well organized for what they're doing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this guy's writing style is everywhere then. It's like...
His career is all over the place.
I mean, it's hard to say good action... Now that I think about it, because some parts of other movies, I'm just like, why even do this? Why, like, Total Recall, the 2012
maybe
2012 one?
Yeah.
It's not on TV anywhere.
That was such a weird, like, the RoboCop remake, and then that was like back to back. It's like, we're just gonna remake Paul Verhoeven movies, PG-13 and terrible.
Yeah, like, you have to seek that out as a goal. But, yeah, at least Beekeeper kind of is redemption for a lot of these people, then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, David Ayer gets to make a good movie, Kurt Wimmer gets to write a fun movie, so Jason Statham has, like, a classic Jason Statham movie. Like when you think of, like, Jason Statham, like, like, the Beekeeper's definitely like some, like, in that like range of like, oh yeah, this is a Jason Statham ass Jason Statham movie.
Yeah, it's just not silly, because I like Jason Statham where he's a little silly with it.
Oh, he is so deadly serious in this, which makes it even like, it makes it funnier, because like, he's deadly serious and like, but the like ridiculous shit is happening around him. Or he's like serious, but he's like doing ridiculous things, like lighting a crypto bro like call center on fire with gasoline cans, and then forcing everyone to like say like, I'm not gonna rip people off anymore.
Yeah, I do like how that movie kind of, I mean, the beginning of the movie where he actually burns that place and there's actually like a death toll that keeps growing is interesting, because it's not like, oh, he's a guy that he's fighting all these people, but there's no casualties. It's like, no, he's adding body counts.
So, I think in the first where he burns down the building, it's like the four like security guys that he like beat the shit out of and left unconscious, like they died.
Yeah, they're just like unconscious when that building exploded.
Yep.
And no one offered to help. That was just the security group. You know, like they, but Jason Statham's eye, he's just like, is black and white. He's like, well, you work for them, so you're evil too.
Mm-hmm. But I think definitely some of the people at that gas station that blows up are innocent people.
I think they got out of the way. I hope.
I think they said there was like seven bodies at the gas station. So.
Oh my god.
Because they keep like, oh no, he had another seven to his body count. Like.
Well, okay. To be fair, they might have been killed by the other beekeeper who just showed up with a fucking Vulcan machine gun.
Yeah. Which the FBI is just like unfazed, like, oh, is that a minigun? Like,
yeah, how did that survive the explosion?
How did the book survive? How did like the beekeeping book survive perfectly intact?
Yeah, that wasn't in. Wait, was that in the beekeeper's truck? No, right?
It was like, I think it was in like the new beekeeper's truck. I think I can't remember if it's Jason Statham's or if it was her, like, it's like a like standard issue, like, beekeeper thing. If, like, the new beekeeper had it on her or something.
She didn't read it well enough to not know all these things. That's why it was, like, her first day on the job or something.
Yeah. There's gotta be some sort of, like, code, too, like, where, like, the beekeeper guide, it's gotta be, like, all of it's like, when we're talking about, like, you know, hive maintenance, right? We're actually talking about economics, like... Or honey means communication lines. But yeah, the beekeeper, super fun, super enjoyable. I've seen it twice now. It was fun both times.
Yeah, it's I watched it recently too, to get prepared for this. I was genuinely surprised because the trailers didn't spoil like anything about like the second half of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a definitely fun action movie that the trailer does a really good job on showing you the ridiculousness and then just a simple plot premise. But yeah, it was like a gem of starting off the year, because I'm thinking like Wrath of Man was a lot more human drama, and then you learn about all these other characters. This was just straight up beekeeping puns. Let's just keep going. And then, you know, don't you hate the guy from The Hunger Games? He's the worst
yeah.
guy.
Don't you hate crypto bros who like fish old people? Which, according to Jason Statham, is worse than stealing from a child. Just that was another ridiculous Jason Statham line. Just like, stealing for the elderly is worse than stealing for a child, because at least with a child the parents are around. He's got
yeah, it's preachy a little bit.
Yeah, I feel like there's probably some like I don't know if like you know older people are watching this, but like I feel like they're like watching this like nodding along like, oh yeah, it is scary, like fishing is scary, that's probably what it was really like. Like, thank God Jason Statham is out there killing them. This is like elderly, like people like using computers, like their nightmare.
Right. Just like getting called and like, yes, I'll give you all my information.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also surprised in the beginning that woman has a computer that you can have high speed internet to download, like. Rip off all your hair info, or she even has like cable modem. You should have like dial up or something.
Yeah, there. She's in the middle of nowhere on a laptop,
and she was able to get super speedy hack.
Yeah, like it was as soon as they got the password, they were like instantly. It's just like they cleared out all the accounts instantly.
But she had fraud detection, so it's not like she didn't have any security. But she didn't understand what that meant. Like, she was just like, fraud detection. Oh no.
Yeah. What? Yeah. Like, call your bank. Like, don't shoot yourself. Call your bank. I don't think they'd be able to do anything, but at least call them and tell them, like, hey, I got scammed. Like,
yeah. If anything, this is just a cautionary tale for older generations who
watch. Do not call pop-ups that come up on your computer.
They should have shown that pop-up, so at least people understand what that means. I mean, I get it. You know, it's happened to some computer sites, and, you know, you go there, and you're like, oh, click this pop-up. But if you're, like, an older generation, they don't know that. And It's like, don't shoot yourself. Jason Statham is gonna solve it. A beekeeper's gonna burn down that place. Just wait it out.
Although, like we said, though, like, if real life, you have to, like, fly to, like, India or something, or Russia, or something, like blow up, like, a grimy, like, call center.
Yep.
But yeah, definitely check out The Beekeeper if you've not seen it yet. If you listen to all this and you still want to see it, you've gotten a little bit spoiled by it, but like it's still worth checking out, and it's a ton of fun. And then come back next week, we're gonna be talking about The Fall Guy, not the new Ryan Gosling, Emily Blunt movie, but the original 80s TV show with Lee Majors. We're going to watch the first episode and talk about it, which the first episode is you know, most 80s shows seem to do this at the time. Like, the first episode is actually, like feature length, like 90 minutes long. So it's basically like we're watching a movie, but it's the first episode of the TV show. So come back next week for that. Head over to the site right now, and you can listen to our April commentary, which is Friday the 13th, part 4, the final chapter. You can watch along with us as we celebrate the 40th anniversary of Friday the 13th, and, you know, dive into all the crazy dancing and window destruction of that movie.
What's the term called again?
I think it's defenestration.
Oh my god.
And I don't think we didn't play the drinking game when we were watching it, but if you want to play a drinking game, every time they say dead fuck, take a shot to that movie. Because it happens a lot. And you can also check out our Gamebox 2.0 for the month. You can check out all the games we played for April. And all of our reviews, news, features, all sorts of stuff. I have a review of the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare and Rebel Moon Part 2 on the site if you want to read both those reviews. And yeah, all of our other usual stuff's up there. Head over, check all that stuff out. And yeah, so for Chris, I am Zach, and we will see you next week. For more Everything Action, head to www.everythingaction.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at EVAction, on Facebook by searching for Everything Action, and follow us on Instagram at everything.action. You can also subscribe and get more episodes on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.